Now, we kind of left off last week talking about the 3 points in Bruce's email. Not that that governs anything, but it seems to me those are probably the areas where we might be able to achieve some consensus. You know, looking at speaking with Ross and with Bruce, it seems like the three components to it. One is the verification time of registration. Second is reasonable steps to investigate inaccuracy once there's a complaint about inaccurate data. And third is this issue of steps to investigate inaccuracy and the idea of charging those if provided. It's my view at this time that with respect to verifying accuracy up front, that's not going to happen because the registrars are just opposed to that. And I think maybe since we're only going to be able to make very minimal incremental advances on accuracy, that what we should do on that point is I think we can leave that issue for a future date and maybe another task force. I think we're not going to have it here because the registrars oppose it, and it seems that other groups may oppose that. And what I think would make sense, and I think the IPC would probably include a minority indicating that they think that there should be some upfront verification, but I don't see that happening now. So rather than getting bogged down in that issue, I think we should move to number two, is the reasonable steps to investigate inaccuracy. And this would be upon a complaint. One idea that seems to me is not really addressed here in what Bruce had outlined, that you can have only false data. You know, for example, if somebody registers a domain name or the name Mickey, or the telephone numbers and numbers are all one or all, et cetera. And it seems to me that what we might consider doing there is, rather than waiting, that those kinds of domains could be immediately placed on hold, because obviously they've been registered in violation of the contract, and you don't need any communication or investigation to confirm that. So what do people think about that idea?
How would you identify those?
Well, it would have to be patently false, and it would have to be on its face something that could not be, you know, could not be. And if it's a phone number or a fax number that's all a single digit, or if the registrar is Mickey Mouse or, you know, character, and I'm sure there are other examples, then there would not be any time period or any need to communicate with the registrar to place that name on hold. And I recognize that's a small category, but I don't think that there should be a waiting period or a delay when the data is completely false.
And if I may, I'm Vittorio here. I think that you should anyway try to make at least a minimal check, because I mean, you never know whether someone in Vietnam or in Guinea actually named his son Mickey Mouse. So how can you tell? I mean, I can agree perhaps with phone numbers made by one single digit or whatever, but you should be very careful in stating that something is certainly fake.
I think it would have to be crafted so that not one item was targeted, but that the registration, you know, contained a number of indicators or, you know. I'm curious as to how these would get identified in terms of would this still happen through the complaint form, but just that the result of complaining about these particular forms of registration would be that they got immediately placed on hold instead of the attempt to notify the registrant? Is that how you envision this?
Yeah, I think so. It would have to be a complaint. You know, somebody complains
to
the registrant.
Right, okay, yeah. I was just trying to figure out how that process works.
Right. And then to the registrar that this is obviously false data because it's registered in the name of Mickey Mouse, for example. And I have to say, Vittoria, I guess I find the risk that there's, you know, numerous people in Vietnam, or even one, who are named Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, but I do actually know of somebody named Donald Duck. So Mickey Mouse might be very clear, but there are, in fact, instances where a name has been given to somebody that has later entered the popular culture and become...
Okay, you know a Donald Duck?
I actually do, yes.
Duck exemption. Maybe you should, you know, maybe it's better to just tell Donald not to register any domain name.
Well, we told him that if he did, this would end up being a problem. But that's why I'm saying perhaps the determination isn't by one category, but by perhaps, you know,
Two data elements. Well,
yeah.
How's that?
Something like that. That makes it clear that it's patently false, as opposed to...
I think that would be reasonable, because, I mean, I do think that the... You know, there's an exception to every rule, and if you let the exceptions...
dictate, yeah, exactly.
anything done, but, you know, two data elements should be sufficient. If it's Donald Duck and it's all ones and the phone number... that should be enough to do it. And I think that would be reasonable, and that's a little bit of a compromise. And if we're going to do anything to try to increase accuracy, I mean, I don't know what to think about that, but it seems to me that might be an option. The other issue is the third component of extra steps to investigate inaccuracy, and I think the way the registrars view it is that if somebody, you know, which presumably would be a complainant, wants to have expedited verification, they want to be able to charge for that. And, you know, I know the IPC is opposed to having to incur those fees, particularly where you know, it's a contractual obligation on the registrar to do that. So I don't know what the view is there, but maybe that's another one we'll have to table. But unless people have something else they want to submit at this time, I think what might make sense is I'll go ahead and draft something on these three points, and I do think effectively tabling. Issue one, and I'm quite certain the IPC would submit some kind of minority statement on that. I mean, we're not going to get that at this time. And then focusing on issue two, and then three, we can kind of think about whether we put something together in writing, relate it hopefully before next week, and then we can start talking about something a little more. What do people think about that?
Well, I think the idea of having you write up something on item two is definitely good. If you think that you can write up something on item three as well that reflects the concerns of the group as a whole, then sure, give it a try. I think that based on the discussion that took place last week, that may be a little more difficult. But yeah.
Well, I think item three, I mean, it may be that enjoys a similar fate as item one.
Right.
But
least... you know, give it a try. I actually think having something to look at as a base document will help everybody clarify their thoughts about this, what their support is and what their objections to it are. And that might be very fruitful in moving forward.
Yeah, because I think at this point we need to bring this to closure, and I... you know, we could go on like this for another decade if we wanted to, but...
Brian, this is Franny. I think that you and Ross really need to do any drafting together. If you guys can agree on point on something on number two, then that's great. But I think one and three should be tabled unless you guys can agree on something, because we're not going to support the registrants or the registrars having to pay for a complaint. So I think work on two, but work on it with Ross, and then the other two I think should be tabled until.
I'll just put something together, and then I'll circulate it.
Can you hear Brian?
Yeah, I think we did. Okay, but we all understand his intent.
Yeah.
And I think Sarah, your point was well taken. So I think he'll probably address it in that way. I think that the issues around 3 are slightly different than the issues around item 1, and that they may be more susceptible to some kind of a compromise. But I think you're right that right now it's probably a little too contestatory.
Yeah. Great. So, yeah, I mean, if they move forward on 2, then that's good.
Glenn, we don't have any meetings scheduled for next week as of yet, do we?
No, there isn't. I was going to ask you, do you want me to schedule a meeting?
Why don't you go ahead and schedule one and distribute the information. If we end up deciding that we don't actually need to have a call that week, we'll reschedule it. But right now, let's go ahead and plan to have it, because if Brian gets his draft out to the group, then that'll actually give us something to work on. Otherwise, we don't really have any agenda for moving the discussion further.
Because I'm not able to attend for next week, Barbara.
Okay, can you arrange?
I have arranged for an MP3, yes.
Excellent, okay. Yeah.
I'll go ahead and arrange a call.
What about for Task Force, the Joint Task Force? Did they arrange a call? I don't remember.
For the Task Force 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Yes, they have a call arranged.
Okay.
So what's happening with them right now?
I don't know. How would you describe it? They're in a similar state in terms of trying to find areas of compromise and agreement. And what they've done is they've taken each of the 3 large questions that they have, and they've broken them into 3 different weeks. So they did one last week, and they did a different one this week, and they'll do a third one next week. And then they're trying to stay in conversation on those issues on the list to carry over into the following weeks to try to get something fresh written.
Okay, that's good.
They decided rather than trying to make each call address all 3 areas of concern that was too unproductive.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. That's how they're moving forward with their work.
Well, thank you for taking over for Brian.
No problem. Okay, so everyone on the call next week, and I'm sure Brian... Anyway, I'm sure he'll have something to send out. So.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.